This is America and all the ships at sea. Welcome to Travel Talk Radio with your hosts, Sandy and Bob Nesoff. And tonight we're very fortunate to have a guest as Rachel Bueller, who is the communications manager at Park City Ski Resort, and Summer Resort, and all kinds of resorts. It is arguably one of the most wonderful places in the world in the wintertime to go skiing. The snow is fabulous, and in the summertime, they have more activities than you can shake a stick at. Welcome, Rachel. How are you today?
I'm so well. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. Let me ask you this. The first time we were in Park City, shortly after Wyatt Earp was captured, I think, in Dodge City, Park City is an old silver mining town, and the streets were actually raised boardwalks. They were above the snow and what have you. City has changed quite a bit since then. What are some of the major changes now?
So you're absolutely right that this town was founded as a silver mining town. Skiing actually was completely overlooked at the origins of its history, but now that it is the ski mecca that it is today, we've really seen that, you know, with all the new infrastructure that's required to make this really a popular spot, there's been a lot of changes since those boardwalks on Main Street. So, you know, we give a lot of credit to the 2002 Winter Olympic Games that took place in Salt Lake City, and many events took place in Park City. So with that, it's very much a modern town now, but it definitely has its historical charms. It doesn't want to, you know, infiltrate its visitors with something they can find anywhere else. This is a place where you come for its uniqueness. So, you know, the streets are all, you know, very drivable. There's no dirt roads anymore, so that part of the history is gone for sure. Sidewalks are all built up. Main Street, you know, it has this very Western saloon town feel, so all the buildings have a very Western facade. And, you know, we just have so many lodging accommodations and spas and restaurants and activities and, of course, the ski resorts. So there's just so much more going on here than there was back in the day.
Okay. I think they've added a lot of galleries, which I thought were very interesting. You know, so there's a lot of artwork to be seen, which is interesting. And I think people tend to like that. They like to buy things that, you know, replicate the area.
Absolutely. Arts and culture is really popular here. You know, I know we'll probably discuss the Sundance Film Festival very shortly, but art galleries are very prevalent. There's a lot of artists in many forms that come here, whether they're singer-songwriters or, you know, painters or photographers. So a lot of talent comes here, and it's just such a wonderful spot to really show it off.
Let me ask you this. Where originally there were some small restaurants or fast food restaurants, Park City now boasts some very, very upscale restaurants and boutiques. Are visitors to the area primarily from upper-income groups, or is anybody going to be comfortable there?
I think everyone is definitely going to be comfortable here. The reason I think people kind of tend to think of it more as a more affluent destination is because skiing, the sport itself, is a pricier hobby, you know, to acquire for starters, but really it's so easy to come here and find very affordable accommodations and restaurants. I think we definitely know how to cater to a very high-end clientele as well, but by no means does that mean that we can't offer something for everyone, and we definitely have our range of budget-friendly hotels and activities and restaurants as well, so that anyone really can come here and feel completely comfortable.
Mm-hmm. What areas does Park City encompass?
So Park City, we're about 30 minutes away from the Salt Lake City International Airport. And so when you come into town, there are two ski resorts here. We have Deer Valley Resort and Park City Mountain. So those two entities take over the majority of the landscape within town. So you drive up this main road, just called Route 224, and you first will see Park City Mountain on your right-hand side, you know, for much of the drive, and then once you pass Main Street, you just veer off a little ways, and then you see Deer Valley Resort right there as well. They're all connected on the same mountain range, but they are two different entities owned by different owners.
But that still comes under the Park City umbrella?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Stein Erickson Lodge still drawing the movie stars and what have you over there?
Oh, you betcha. Yep, again, that's one of our more high-end destinations, a more all-inclusive resort that has, you know, the spa amenities and, you know, really decadent lodging and dining offerings as well. So we do love them for sure.
Yeah, Sandy commented when we were there once that it was the only resort she's ever seen that had heated sidewalks.
Well, they were afraid that people who have, you know, have manicured nails would fall and break their
nails.
You know, their nails on. So they had to make sure that everything was manicured properly and heated so that there was no residue.
Right. You do see the heated sidewalks more and more because it is easier for cleanup, especially after we get a snowstorm or temperatures that go below freezing and form ice. So it's just another precaution that we can take that will really ensure safety of the guests.
Now, I know some years ago, Stein Erickson did ski there regularly at his namesake lodge. And if I remember correctly, he had two sets of every ski outfit. One was on a mannequin in the lobby, so that people could see it and they would see what he was wearing that day and they could spot him. And he would actually stop and talk to people and what have you. Is he still skiing there or is he now just a senior member?
So his family still owns the property. Unfortunately, Stein himself, who was really a legendary figure in the ski community, he did pass away a few years ago now, very recent. So the lodge is still, again, owned by his family members, and they're still very involved with the community. So we definitely have his spirit living strong because the Stein Collection, which the Stein Erickson Lodge falls under, there are three properties in the Stein Collection, continues to grow and expand. So he's definitely still as much of an influential figure today as he was, you know, years ago. So we certainly love having that little piece of history here in town as well.
If I remember correctly, that gentleman, it must have been at least 10 or 15 years ago, I think he was in his late 80s at that time, and he was still skiing, which was remarkable to us. And certainly he looked the part because his hair was still all there, and he would use probably some kind of hairspray, kept his hair exactly in place. He looked like the mannequins that that they show of him, and it was very interesting to see that.
I have
well,
never
he had a reputation to uphold.
Sure.
I have never skied with anybody who was as smooth as he was. I've never seen anybody who could ski with his ankles touching together and just come down, and the trail that he left looked like he was wearing one ski.
Oh, he was just
beautiful
and graceful.
He was a very tall, thin man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Very handsome,
okay.
So now, he definitely was a heartthrob.
Oh, he was. Yeah. Okay, the slopes in Park City and Deer Valley or what have you are really fantastic. What do you have there for children and novice skiers and what have you?
We love both of our ski resorts for beginner or novice skiers. So each resort does have a range of beginner-level terrain, intermediate, and advanced-level terrain as well. Now, for beginners that are interested in trying out the sport, there are easily accessible beginner-level terrains from any of the base areas that you would go to. Both resorts also have really excellent ski school programs. Now, ski school is not only for beginners. I will point that out, that many intermediate and advanced level skiers always appreciate taking a lesson every now and again with an instructor who's been trained that can just point out little details. But especially for beginners, we highly recommend working with a professional ski instructor to really set the foundation of the ski experience. And I will point out that as we're talking about what's available for beginners, this year, Park City Mountain did create a brand new Learn to Ski area. It's actually at one of their base areas where you take the gondola up before you've even put your skis on. You take the gondola up halfway up the mountain, and then you learn to ski right there with all this really soft, mellow terrain that's available right there. So, you know, many ski resorts, you, as a beginner, are skiing down at the base area, you know, close to the parking lot, if you will, but with this new experience, you can actually go halfway up the mountain and really get those incredible views that, you know, otherwise might not be attainable given the first day of skiing for someone. So that's really special. And, of course, Deer Valley is really,
really
esteemed for theirs. Yeah.
And the ski school is open every day of the season, I would assume, and people can come in, rent gear, and make arrangements for lessons.
Yes, that's correct. And, of course, it's best to book a lesson ahead of time, especially over busy periods like any holiday weeks. But usually you can also walk in, you know, when you arrive down and see if there's availability during your stay as well. So there's not always that needed pressure of booking ahead of time, but we certainly do recommend that for both resorts.
How would a skier book in advance?
So you can visit either of the resort websites. And what I'll do right now just for the listeners, I think the easiest website to latch onto will actually be the website that I represent. So for the Park City Chamber of Commerce and Convention and Visitors Bureau, the website is very straightforward. It's visitparkcity.com. Once you get onto our website, again, visitparkcity.com, it will direct you to what the two resorts are, which, again, are Park City Mountain and Deer Valley Resort. There's a link that can access you to both of those websites, and then they have it very clear at the top, learning to ski or ski school. So it's a very simple process.
Now, regarding the ski school, do you have a lot of grandparents bringing children there on, you know, like mini vacations perhaps, and they insist upon the kids going to ski school? Does that happen often, or is that just in general that parents as well as grandparents are involved?
You know, I think we see just as many adults going into learn to ski programs as children are, but multi-generational vacations are so popular, having grandparents, parents, and children. I think that it's pretty pretty equal support from parents and grandparents to get kids into ski school. I think both usually can appreciate the value of working with a professional that's been trained to point out technique versus just trying to put someone on the snow yourself and give somewhat of an amateur direction.
Yeah, I know that every year that we had our children out on the slopes, we would insist that they take a lesson first, and I think that in the long run, they felt it was important because we got a lot of feedback from them as they grew into adults, and they appreciated the fact that there was that ski lesson because, first of all, I think, you know, children, they're paying attention, but they forget easily if there's something else that attracts their attention. So the ski school is a terrific idea, I think. And it does keep them involved, very much so.
Well, let's say that you say feedback. What we got was kickback from our kids. Our rule was if you didn't take a lesson, you didn't ski.
Right.
And our oldest daughter, who I won't tell you how old she is now, but she's got her own grown kids who are skiers and snowboarders, she was the one who gave me the hardest time when we get out there. And I remember one time going across a lift while she was in a class, and she was just glaring up at me as I went by. And she did come over to me one time after her kids were skiing, and she said, "Dad, do you remember that?" And I said, "I most certainly do." Why? She said, "Boy, am I glad you insisted."
Yeah. Yes, that's one of those things you can appreciate. So
yeah.
Deer Valley Resort itself is a skier-only resort. However, at Park City Mountain, that is available for skiers and snowboarders. Yeah, and now with Park City Mountain also being the largest lift-assisted ski resort in the United States, there's a lot of terrain to be had, so that's definitely a place where snowboarders can really enjoy. But again, I will point out Deer Valley Resort is currently skier only, and that's just preference, you know, when it was privately owned and
that's
still
fine.
Is, just ownership choice. Yep.
Yeah, well, that changed with the Olympics, I believe, didn't it?
Well, you know,
at one time,
the Olympics definitely...
Park City and Deer Valley both...
That's a good question, actually. I'm not familiar if Park City Mountain ever had a history of skiers only, but currently, today, there are only three ski resorts in the United States that are skier only, one of which is Deer Valley Resort, which, you know, as a skier, that it's some people really absolutely love that. I think snowboarders might not appreciate it, of course, but I think for skiers that do have access to it, it's definitely part of the characteristic of appeal to that resort.
Okay, we're going to take a break for a moment right now, play a commercial, and earn some money. Be right back.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Ground beef, refried beans, guacamole, cheese, sour cream, and if there's any room left, a few shreds of lettuce.
I don't see no lettuce.
A culinary creation that baffles the human mind. A 12,000 calorie salad.
Ah, caramba.
Some may ask, is your taco salad healthy? Of course it is. It's a salad, isn't it?
You can eat that deep-fried country bowl.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, conquistador of the calorie. You put the feast in fiesta.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
It's a salad, so it must be healthy. It's the same thing as anything brown. It has no calories. That's why I eat chocolate. Rachel, let me ask you this. We talked about beginners, intermediates. I know that some of the slopes at Park City to a novice or even an intermediate are going to be kind of daunting. What options do expert skiers have there?
So let's see here. Almost about half of the terrain at Park City Mountain is more geared towards expert-level skiers, whereas at Deer Valley Resort, about a third of the terrain is for expert-level skiers. And those are going to be your black diamonds and double black diamonds. Many times what will cause a slope to be considered more extreme is whether it's a little bit steeper or maybe it's a little more narrow so that you can't take very big turns. Or sometimes it's just going into totally untouched powder, meaning that there haven't been any snow cats on it to groom it. So we do have a number of chutes and bowls, if that terminology rings a bell at all. So basically, when you go up to a mountain, sometimes the peak can kind of form little, just as it's called, a bowl between peaks. And so this is just kind of like a rounded area at the top of a peak that will just be inaccessible to any type of machine to access it and groom it. So it'll be very first come, first serve, if you will. And that's very popular at our resorts out here. You know, being part of the Rocky Mountains, there's a lot of appeal for this kind of more rugged style skiing. So there's certainly plenty of fun for those expert level skiers out there that are interested in that, or even tree skiing is always fun.
But I see Sandy motioning, but let me ask a question before. Park City not only was home for the Olympics some years back, but it's also a focal point for American skiers to train, even in the summertime, for the Winter Olympics. Could you tell us about that?
Yes. Well, you're absolutely right. So here in Park City, this is where the home base is for the U.S. Ski and Snowboard Association. So we do get a lot of skiers and snowboarders relocate to town because this is where they have access to coaching and immaculate training facilities. Many of our facilities from the 2002 Winter Games are still actively used today. So they're in really wonderful condition. So that's really important. I'll also point out, we do have the National Ability Center located here in Utah, and that is a nonprofit organization here in Park City that caters to anyone with any type of disability of all ages, whether it's mental or physical, from a young child to someone, you know, much older, and they really try to make sports adaptive for any need. So that's also a really wonderful reason why people can appreciate enjoying sports out in this neck of the woods. But back to the Olympics, yes, we have these outstanding facilities here. And I'm not sure if you're aware or not, but the International Olympic Committee did approve Salt Lake City to be the United States' bid city for the 2030 Winter Games. So that's on our radars right now, hoping to. Yes, that was very recently announced, not even a month ago. So we're very excited about that in hopes that we'll be selected for those games. But right now we're just representing the United States for the bid, but take it one step further and hopefully by, I believe, 2023 is when they'll actually announce which city is selected. So we've got lots of Olympics in the air around here.
All right, 2023 for which Olympics? For what year?
The 2030 games are the ones that we're the bid city for. So,
okay.
Yes. Yep.
If I'm still skiing, I'll be there.
You're still on the
yes, it will be great.
Sandy, go ahead. You had
yeah,
question.
I was going to ask about the Ability Center. We saw the Ability Center when it was closer to opening than it is. I mean, it's been around for a lot of years now. Can you tell our listeners what the Ability Center actually is? It's a phenomenal operation, and I think that a lot of people would be happy to have their children go there. I guess it's mostly children. But it's just a phenomenal enterprise. So could we know a little bit more about it?
Oh, absolutely. So, yes, the National Ability Center does cater really to all ages. You're absolutely right, though, that I think it's a great starting point for especially children that do have needs outside of just your average skier or snowboarder abilities. So the National Ability Center does have relations with both of the ski resorts here in Park City at Deer Valley Resort and Park City Mountain. And so they'll partner up, if you will, with an instructor, for example, if they're trying to bring someone out on a mono ski or someone who is blind, for example, or partially blind. There are still ways that they can enjoy the recreation if they're interested. And so they will partner up professionals that know how to work with individuals that have those different needs, and they'll partner with instructors at the resorts so that there's this all-inclusive support system to get someone out on the slopes that otherwise may not have been able to figure out how to do so on their own. And what's also really wonderful about the other really wonderful part is that they want everyone to feel comfortable, and sometimes it's intimidating or daunting for someone who needs to have, these special circumstances presented to them. So they absolutely invite friends and family to join on the experience as well. So that definitely adds to that level of comfort. So it's, again, for all ages, friends and family more than welcome to join on the experience as well. And while we are talking about winter season, you know, it's great for skiing and snowboarding opportunities, but they are a year-round organization. They cater to almost any sport that you could think of. So they are definitely trying to get people to feel that they could be included in any type of activity that they might be interested in.
They still do horseback riding?
I was just going to ask about that.
Yes. Yeah. So they have special saddles for different needs. Again, I'm not, you know, as familiar with how that operation goes, but I know on their website they do list that equestrian training is definitely one of their offerings.
That's fabulous. I think it's so necessary. I mean, I think in cities and in different places in the country, you will see people, older people perhaps, or disabled people with walkers and wheelchairs and canes, things that you didn't see many years ago. And here they are able to cater to, it's not just children. I saw children when we were there. But and I think we saw children who were on horseback, which was phenomenal. I mean, just to give them that experience and for people to not be afraid of it is what they're taught, and it's wonderful.
Yes, absolutely.
And we saw them on horseback, and we saw them in horse-drawn wagons where they were handling the reins.
Yes. Yeah, it's remarkable the work that they do. It's such a nice asset for our town.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Going back to Park City itself now, what are the range of accommodations in Park City, and how affordable are they for, let's say, a family group? We know Stein Erickson would be out of that ballpark.
Yes, Stein Erickson is up there in the more luxury aspect. So we've got over 100 different lodging options, from hotels to condos to home rentals. So any price point can be found. Again, I think people really think of us more of as a luxury destination because we do have quite a large number of high-end accommodations available, but we also have equal, if not more, middle to the lower price range accommodations as well, because, you know, this town really does want to be all-inclusive of any customer or guest that's trying to come and experience what our town has to offer. So anyone could be comfortable finding whatever price range they're comfortable with for any type of vacation, whether they were here in the winter, summer, fall. So
it
definitely
should
not make people shy away.
Yeah.
Say that one more time.
Where are most of your guests from? Are they from the the West or from the Northeast or maybe everywhere?
We get them a little bit all over the place, but our top markets that we see visitors coming from are New York, more specifically New York City area, Los Angeles, Texas as a whole is pretty common, Chicago is a common area, and we're starting to see a little more visitation from the Southeast as well. A lot of Floridians will come this way as well, so it's pretty much kind of circling the perimeter of the country.
Okay, let me ask you this. Airline, you used to be able to get onto an airline with a ski bag, the skis, the boots, and what have you. Now you're lucky that they let you on. What do you suggest to somebody coming from the Northeast, flying out to Salt Lake City, and bringing the skis and all the gear and the accoutrements that will go with it?
If someone wants to bring out their gear, and we definitely see intermediate and expert level skiers wanting to use their equipment more than anything, the airlines do have different baggage fees, and it depends if you're, a card member or not. They certainly don't make it easy to understand, it seems. They always kind of want to have some additional add-on, but we have seen that they all do try to make it very accommodating for skiers with their ski bags. Usually, that's an oversized bag, but they'll usually consider that as just a regular checked bag. So you do have to check all that gear. I know if you're trying to fly on board with your ski boots, maybe you're not bringing your skis, or maybe you've sent the skis through the checked luggage already and just want to bring your boots with you on the plane. That technically does not count as a personal item from all the experiences that I've ever had. So, if you're bringing your backpack on the plane with you as well, you can throw your ski boots over your shoulder and not have that interfere with your ability to board the plane with X number of personal items. So that's really nice.
Yeah. Have you seen an increase in the number of people who rent skis rather than bringing their own gear?
I wouldn't say an increase. I think it's a pretty steady thing. We see a lot of, the more beginner or novice skiers coming our way that are definitely going to rent because they're not familiar with the product and they don't necessarily need their own gear at this point in time. But advanced level skiers are definitely more dialed into their gear and know what they like and dislike. So I think they're more likely to go to whatever measures it takes to bring their own equipment out with them, which usually means you have a ski bag that you put your skis in and, you can fit all your other luggage in with that as well. So I don't think it's ever prevented anyone from, bringing out the bag because, paying for the checked bag to bring out your own equipment could be cheaper, depending on how many days you're out here, than renting equipment. So it's just a cost balance as well.
Now, is there an average amount of days that a family or even a couple would come out there for?
It seems to be pretty standard in the travel industry that formerly it used to be people would come out for at least a week. They would take the full 7-day getaway. But now it's becoming more and more popular as airlines are offering more destinations to visit, that people are shortening their trips so that they can do more vacations throughout the year with shorter lengths of stay. So I would say our average length of stay really is about 4 days compared to the 7 days that it once was. And we absolutely see families coming out for the full 7 days still. So it's kind of this ebb and flow of people coming for the longer stays versus trying to fit in a long weekend instead of a long week.
Okay, we've got just under a minute now, so I'd like to wrap up. Unfortunately, we didn't even get to talk about the famed Sundance Film Festival in Park City with Robert Redford, but perhaps if you're available, Rachel, in a couple of weeks, we can come back, continue talking about skiing in Park City and Deer Valley, and get into that famous festival, which brings all those stars into Park City. Why don't you give us a contact for people to contact to get information on Park City again?
Our website is visitparkcity.com, and that will have all the information you need to know.
Okay. Our guest this evening has been Rachel Bueller, who is the communications manager for Park City. Thank you very much for your time, Rachel, and I'm sure our readers are going to be heading out to Park City. Have a good night.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Okay, Sandy?